On the phone, I believe we have Rich Bookbinder.
He's not really on the phone. He's just using the phone to communicate, right?
Well, yeah, it'd be uncomfortable if he was actually sitting on the phone. But
although he's from California, and stranger things have happened.
Yeah, especially in California. But he's he is from the Office of Air Operations, and that's a division of the California Highway Patrol. So everybody stand at attention out there while you listen to this.
Slow down. Are you there, sir?
Yes, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
How are you doing? I'm sorry we woke you up so early.
That is okay, and I just have to ask Fast Eddie, how did you get that name? That doesn't relate to your driving, does it?
yes, sir, it does, actually.
Only in Pennsylvania, not in California.
Three speeding tickets in 2 months.
Nice.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. So you're a pilot with the CHP as well as a bunch of other titles they've got you doing here, and flight instructing and stuff like that. That's kind of an interesting job. You still have to go through the Standard Police Academy?
That is correct. We have a 6-month academy in Sacramento, and all of our pilots and crew members have to become officers first. And you must be an officer for at least 2 years prior to joining our air operations program.
Are you expected to have a pilot's license on your own, or do you train them up from zero?
Our pilots are required to have the license already, so we require a commercial instrument rating and at minimum 300 hours of pilot and command time in the type of aircraft they would be flying for our department.
Wow, that seems to cut your pool of applicants way down.
Yes, and in the past when our applicants per pilot are way down, we then may consider training some of our flight officers. A flight officer is the person that sits in the other seat and does all the other duties while the pilot is flying. So at times, we will train people, but even then, they must at least have a private pilot license.
So that's an interesting question then. The pilot's job is to fly the machine. He's not concerned with what you're tracking on the ground or what's going on. His job is to make sure he's flying the helicopter and not going to hit anything else.
Well, it's partially true. Our job is to fly it first, but we also are involved in what's going on the ground. In order to put the aircraft in the proper position, we need to be knowledgeable about what's happening on the ground, and we need to be looking out the window as well at the ground, although most of our attention is looking out for other aircraft, as you said.
Well, and as we've seen from so many TV shows about California flying highway patrols, It always looks like it turns into mayhem in terms of you and the news helicopters and everybody all flying around the same scene.
Yes, and sometimes there's an illusion where a news helicopter is filming, and because of their telephoto lens, it looks like the CHP or police helicopter is right below them, very close. But usually they're much higher, at least 1,000 or 1,500 feet above us when they're filming.
So that's not as big a deal as it seems.
Yes, and also I need to clarify, you mentioned helicopters. We operate a fleet of 15 airplanes as well as helicopters. So we have a total of 30 aircraft throughout the state, 15 helicopters and 15 airplanes.
Well, the fixed wing must be used for different missions then.
That is correct. Our fixed wing, we use those to patrol rural areas. That's the primary duty. But lately, we've equipped two of our airplanes with very powerful cameras. It's called an MX-15. It's a big ball that sits on the side of the airplane. And it's the same type of imaging system used on Predator unmanned aerial vehicles. So it allows the airplane to stay really high and look for bad guys.
Oh, well, that's good. Then they're out of range of small arms fire.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say, one of the primary duties with these aircraft, especially the helicopters, are all these dummies that insist on running from the police and getting into the high-speed chases. Has a helicopter in California actually ever intervened in a chase, landed in front of a perp trying to get away, and actually tried to stop the chase?
No, and that is actually against our policy. We are not to use aircraft as a roadblock or to block vehicles. But we have had helicopters land and get involved in, say, an active shootout, where they will land in a safe area and then go assist the officers on the ground.
They can carry more bullets in the helicopter.
Yeah.
Wow.
But so these airplanes that have these cameras on them are being used more and more for routine law enforcement duties, because we can be at a much higher altitude. The people on the ground don't even know we're watching them. And at night, we have infrared. So we are literally orbiting at 5,000 feet And when a call comes out, not just from our agency, but to assist the local police and sheriffs, we can zoom in with that infrared camera and see a man hiding in a pitch-black field behind cover and lead the officers directly to him from the airplane.
Okay, now I'm nervous.
Well, the television show Cops has shown a lot of footage from helicopters and everything, and it's really amazing the communication that goes on between the helicopter crew and the ground officers when they're after a bad guy. Undoubtedly, that's got to be a tremendous help for the officers on the ground.
Yes, and
you guys
do monitor many radios, and so communication is very important, which is why we require our crew members to be officers first. They need to understand what's going on the ground. So my flight officer might be monitoring 5 or 6 different law enforcement radios simultaneously, in addition to listening to the aviation radio.
Well, that gets a bit confusing, I'm sure.
It does. You learn to compartmentalize, and you just focus on what you need to hear.
Right.
I was going to say, it sounds like your officers, when they're involved in, say, a chase or just tracking down a bad guy, it sounds like they're very busy up there. They're not enjoying the good life, so to speak.
No, but, you know, there are moments of sheer terror, but there's also a lot of boredom where we are just flying around. So it's a combination of both. Occasionally we have time to look out and enjoy the view.
I was going to say, it always seems, I've known some police officers out of Philadelphia, and they're a bunch of characters.
For all the wrong reasons.
And these people are characters. I imagine that your pilots as well are characters as well, and probably have some rather funny stories to tell about that. Cops never seem to run out of funny stories.
Yes, I'm sure. We do have some very interesting personalities.
California seems to have more than its fair share.
Are there any funny stories about law enforcement you could relate to us with perhaps a G rating to them?
Sure, I could tell you one. Let's see. Well, first I need to lay a little groundwork. We have CBs in the fixed-wing aircraft, and we use it to communicate with the truckers. Well, one time I was working speed enforcement over Interstate 5 freeway. It's kind of in a remote area where we were working, and there's a road called Jane Avenue. And so the truckers usually put out where we are. They'll say things like, "Hey, trucker, watch that bear in the air. You're circling over I-5 and Jane, come on." You know, that's how they talk.
Right.
But sometimes we'll talk to them in their own lingo.
Uh-oh. And
so I was ready for my break. Excuse me. And the break was going to be at Harris Ranch Airport, which is right next to the freeway, literally. And so I didn't really want to write this last ticket or call it in because I was ready for my break. But I said, well, man, I'll just give him a warning. So I got on the CB and said, "Hey, driver, that yellow KW, you got it on? Come on." And he called me back. That's how they communicate.
Right.
And I said, "You better slow it down. That bear in the air is watching you. Come on." And he didn't believe me. He kept speeding. So I called it in, and he got stopped. Well, he happened to be stopped right next to the airport. And so I landed for my break, and as I pull in into the ramp, there's that trucker holding his ticket up, and he's a very large man. And he's shaking his head, and as soon as I get out of the airplane, he says, "Are you Officer Bookbinder?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Can you give me a break? Because my name is on the ticket." And I said, "Well, sir, I gave you a break. I called you on the CB and told you to slow down." He said, "That's you? Oh, that's cold, man. That's cold." It was me. I guess my trucker voice is so good that he didn't believe it was really the bear in the air.
Oh, that's funny.
That is funny. Oh, geez.
Wow. So, how much of a factor is weather in your operations? I mean, you're in California. That's probably best flying weather in the country outside of Arizona.
Yes, but weather is a factor. You know, we always do risk versus gain evaluations on every mission. And one thing I might not have told you is, we do rescues and medevacs in our helicopters as well. And so, you know, you get a call to go do a rescue in the mountains, weather can be a very big factor. We have a hoist on the aircraft, so we can do hoist rescues. Our flight officers on the helicopters are paramedics, and so we're basically a flying ambulance. So in addition to law enforcement, we do that type of mission as well.
You certainly have a lot of hats.
We do a lot of different things, which what makes it such a great job. If you love aviation and you want to combine that with other skills, it's really a great job to have.
What kind of helicopter are you flying? Obviously, this is not a little one.
We have a fleet of 15 helicopters. Most of the fleet is comprised of Eurocopter AS350 B3 helicopters. We have 11 of those. We have one B-2 helicopter, which is very similar, just a little smaller engine. And then we have three Bell helicopters, which are used in our metropolitan areas. Those are not used for medevacs.
Well, that's a lot of machines.
You have a lot of people out there that do outdoor activities in California, and it just seems that every now and then somebody gets hurt or gets into trouble of any kind. Are your medevac helicopters very busy?
They are, especially in certain areas. We have one based in Auburn, which is in the hills east of Sacramento, and it's right at the base of the Sierra Mountains. So in the summer, that helicopter is very busy doing rescues, usually plucking people from rivers or cliffs, people that get injured, break an ankle while hiking in the mountains. Very busy.
Well, far busier than you'd like to be.
Yes.
Now,
but it keeps us in business.
Now, here's a question for you. They have a lot of these new GPS locator beacons. One of them that comes to mind is the SPOT system. And I'm wondering, are your aircraft equipped with a way of intercepting that beacon in case anybody gets into trouble?
Not yet. We are looking at a product that has that capability to track in not only on the SPOT, but any 406 megahertz ELT, the new type of ELT, that will give us a pinpoint location with this device on the aircraft. One of our aircraft is testing it right now, and hopefully eventually all of our aircraft will have that device.
Well, I like the idea of the whole 406 thing anyway, because it tells you where it is instead of you having to figure it out.
Help can get there a lot quicker that way.
I am aware, though, that a lot of pilots have not yet upgraded to that, and they still have the old 121.5. So what we do is when we patrol in rural areas, we monitor 121.5 since the satellites are no longer monitoring that.
Right, right. So if it's not picked up by terrestrial, it's not picked up.
Correct.
That's a good plan. I like
that. That's another hat.
Yeah, well, I've been involved in several aircraft accident rescues.
Hopefully they ended well.
They did.
Good.
That's good. We like to hear happy endings.
Yes, the ones I've been on. One of our helicopter crews was actually involved in the search for Steve Fawcett, and they did not find the wreckage. They were searching real close to where the wreckage was found, but then another aircraft found the wreckage.
It really proves how hard it is to spot wreckage.
Very difficult from there. I take photographs to show new pilots that it's not what you think. It's not just going to stand out. It's very difficult to see wreckage from the air,
right,
depending on the circumstances.
Well, sir, I want to thank you for your time and the inconvenience of you getting up so early.
No problem. I enjoy it.
All right. Well, come on out to Wisconsin. You got to see some mega flying out here.
Yeah, and then when you do, don't forget to stop by EAA Radio. We'd love to have you in our studio.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a good day, sir.
You too.